Good morning. We are here on Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice. I am your host, Lydia Aranda, and we're coming to you this Monday, July 21st. Matt, I love those headlines. It seems like we're getting luckier and luckier on Mondays. Rainmakers is bringing the rain.
I hadn't thought about that, but I didn't. Now that you mention it, there's quite a correlation.
It's starting to work.
Last week, you did such a good job. We got 1.7 inches in over the course of an overnight and into the morning.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can't take the credit for that because
I'm giving you the credit.
But I'll say that it's our good energy with the community here that's bringing such good nourishing rain to our Sonoran Desert. And Matt, welcome back. I know that last Monday we didn't have you. We had our wonderful Brendan Kraft place, and he was really rocking it for a few days. And I know had big shoes to fill. He does a great job.
Contributions to the show too, as I recall.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, for our little Rainmakers recap here last week, we were speaking, among other things, we talked a lot about the Sonoran Glass School because we had the new executive director on, and come to find out that Brendan's grandfather is a former director and that he had so much experience himself as a kid and a young adult with glass blowing and such. I think we're going to need a little team excursion over there.
Yeah, I know. You had to do a bead making seminar for us.
Absolutely.
I think that would be really cool, a demo.
And maybe, Brendan, you know what? Maybe they can be the Morning Voice trinkets and people, we can have some merch.
Okay.
Get out there and people
and
can.
And getting back to the spirit of the show, we're hyper local. So
that's
it would be locally made. And I love it.
It'll be
it was
fun.
Really special.
It really was.
He contributed in that. It was what a strange confluence of things coming together. Me needing to take a day off and him being there and just right in his wheelhouse. It was really cool.
It all worked out. And, that's the good energy I hope we're building here on Rainmakers. I'm so excited for our guests today. We have several women who will be joining us in our first hour. Our featured guest, who I believe is already on the line, is not only a fantastic influencer, hard worker, community advocate. She is a veteran herself. She works in public service in Senator Kelly's office and has worked in other offices as well. She is a daughter of the border, as we call it, hija de la frontera. She was raised in Douglas and is here in Tucson. Her name, it sounds like I was doing this really big build-up here, Arlette Rios, who happens to be currently the Veterans Outreach Manager in the office of U.S. Senator Mark Kelly, and really focuses on being a fabulous liaison between veterans themselves, veteran services and programs and initiatives, all around the state, and she's here in Southern Arizona. Arlette, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, good morning, Lydia. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on today and hear a little bit about what the show is about, and excited that I get to be accompanied by a lot of strong women on this Monday morning.
Oh, well, thank you. And indeed, that is a fact. We are going to be, Rainmakers, for all of our listeners, especially new listeners, we'll tell you a little bit about how Rainmakers came about as part of the show, The Morning Voice. And we are the Monday segment of this weekday positive talk radio show called The Morning Voice. Every day is a different host. And on Mondays, we focus on that sweet spot where workforce, education, community services, all kind of come together with nonprofits, small businesses, and even government agency in initiatives or projects and people and leaders who are helping to put together opportunities so that Southern Arizona families, students, and businesses can thrive. So Rainmakers came about with this focus because we think all of these attentions, some things that we talk about are familiar to our listeners. Others are aha moments and did you knows, and maybe some lesser known that we're giving some voice and visibility to. So as that theme goes on, Arlette, I'm very happy to have you on this morning because you are one of those leaders who is touching so much, making things happen and really being the voice and advocate for many people who don't have a voice, and making sure that positive things are coming their way. So once again, I want to thank you. And I wonder if I might start, so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better, just talk a little bit about your background. I am aware that you come out of our southeastern corner and from Douglas, and have a really wonderful career growing up on the border and then continuing into community college and university, certainly with your service in the U.S. Army, and coming back to Tucson to focus on not only how you can be an advocate, but on a lot of issues that are coming up for active members in the military as well as veterans and their families. That's my summary, but I'd love to hear it from you.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I grew up in Douglas. I was actually born in Agua Prieta, so right across the border. My parents moved to Arizona when I was about 5 years old, so I had the pleasure of using a lot of our important programs like Head Start, and attending specialized programs for kids like me that, you know, didn't have a grasp on the English language. So I attended ESL well through middle school. And a lot of people don't know this, but Saved by the Bell, a show I hold dear and near to my heart, was also a big proponent of the English language. So if you hear a little bit of that Southern California accent, that's where it comes from. But growing up on the border was an experience. I actually, until I joined the military, I hadn't come across a lot of different cultures that others get to experience. I love, you know, being Mexican and being part of that culture, but my time in the military taught me a lot about all of the different people that make up the United States. And just a fun fact that a lot of people don't know is I was actually in my senior year of high school that 9/11 happened. So the military hadn't really been a path for me. Never thought about it. Took the ASVAB because, you know, it was offered to everyone. But once 9/11 happened, it changed the trajectory of my life, essentially. After that, I felt like it was my duty and responsibility to join the military and go do what was necessary for folks that were attacking the wonderful liberties that we have in this country. So as you know, my senior year came to an end. I enlisted in November, so about a month after September 11th happened, in the U.S. Army as a combat medic. And that next summer, I was in basic training in Fort Jackson, North Carolina, and then had about a five-year, almost six-year stint in the U.S. Army, being stationed all over the United States, deploying to Iraq, and also having the opportunity to serve abroad in Germany.
Wow.
So it was a busy 5 years. My parents, you know, were big proponents of we give back always, whether it's service to our community, service in our family, or just ensuring that we're helping in different community-based organizations. So for me, it wasn't, you know, a huge decision. It was actually pretty easy to make that flip from, you know, going off to college and university or going off into the Army.
That is a fantastic summary. And wow, a whole lot of things really stimulated you, inspired you, and took you down a path. But it sounds like actually they underscored a path that you were already on. When you mentioned that your parents always upheld the values of giving back, that's instilled in you since, you know, very, very young age. I love your comment that some of your English was influenced by Save the Bell. I love that comment because I think you bring up a good point. We all are influenced by the programs we watch, by the people we see, by the voices we hear. And so I think all of us have a little bit of an interesting dialect and accent from the different kind of groups and folks that we hear. And I love that you are so in tuned to focusing on from whence you've come and how that has flavored and directed and informed the path that you're on and where you're headed. You have always struck me, Arlette, as somebody who is very aware of present day, but is always looking ahead to where you're going and the kind of influence that you want to use. You pull from your experiences really well, and I think that I'm going to guess that serves you so wonderfully in the role that you have today, not just as Veterans Outreach Manager, which is a fabulous role in Senator Kelly's office, but really what it means to be in public service and being a representative not only of the elected official in whose office you serve, but also being a representative of the people in the constituency.
Yeah, no, it has served me well. You know, I'm so grateful. Obviously, Saved by the Bell was just a regular show, but I actually learned to count from Sesame Street, from Count.
Oh, so, yes.
You know, those shows were so important. I have a thing in the office that I do every morning where I don't change my sweater like Mr. Rogers did, but we have fun, comfy shoes that we wear, you know, just while we're working and doing our casework or attending virtual meetings. And I do that little ritual. But those shows were huge for me. My parents obviously did not speak English. So at 5, 6, 7 years old, if those programs hadn't been around and available during my time in public schools in the Phoenix area, if they hadn't had specialized programs, you know, for kids like me, it would have been more difficult to assimilate to the education and the culture in this country. So I'm so grateful for entities like PBS that really, you know, put that forth, because a lot of kids whose parents are immigrants don't have that same ease to come home with homework and ask their parents for help. So those were big proponents of my education, and incredibly grateful that they were available and hopefully continue to be available for children now. But yes, you know, growing up in a place where I was always encouraged and expected to give back, working in this job now is incredibly important. As you can imagine, Senator Kelly being a combat veteran himself, we're always having discussions, our team, him, several other senators, especially now Ruben Gallegos on board. So we have two veterans serving state of Arizona.
That's
so
right.
It's so incredible to have folks that that look like us, that serve like us, representing us and really speaking out. So it is my honor and pleasure to bring up things that Arizona veterans are facing, everything from, you know, the disability claim process to what resources are available and funded, to ensuring that the care at the VA hospitals is top tier and that we have the best folks available to treat our service members. So it's, you know, it's been such a cool job. Not only do I get to do casework, so actually take a veteran's case, look into it, see how our office can help, communicate with a federal agency on behalf of that veteran. But then, you know, some days I'm just out in the community attending veteran meetings, briefing folks on legislative issues that the senator is working on, collaborating with other congressional offices or state offices to put together resource fairs so that our veterans are always informed and educated on what is available to them, but also that we are out in those communities. Last fall, you actually helped me bring together a group of folks in the Yuma area.
Yes, that's right.
And we held a Veterans Resource Fair there, and it was wonderful, well attended. So our office, especially Senator Kelly, wants us to get out to those corners of the state.
Well, I think you do a fabulous job at that, and there is so much in what you just shared, but I want to hold that for just a moment because we're going to go to our first commercial break, and when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how that outreach comes to play. Thanks so much for the shout-out, Arlette. We'll be back in just a moment. And we're back. This is Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and it is Monday, July 21st. We're coming back in to the tunes of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Matt Neely, always doing a great job, and I loved the song. I always love hearing a little Sergio Mendez and that Mashkinada.
Yeah.
That gives us a good energy on this Monday morning where we are hopefully expecting some rain again. So we're making it rain and trying with our fabulous stories and connections that we are bringing to our listeners. And this morning we have Arlette Rios on the line with us. Arlette, thank you so much. Right, boy, all of a sudden that first segment just flew by, and we were speaking about so many things in your background. One of the things I want to skip to really quickly before we come back to your fabulous veteran services and liaison work happening in Senator Kelly's office is you made mention of a favorite thing of mine as well, hugely influential, and that is public broadcasting. PBS and the programming that is so informative and educational, not only for children, but for parents and caregivers as well. And I think everybody has some sort of influence of something that they've either seen or heard or gone back. Nowadays, you can go back and watch videos and clips over and over again. Certainly not in the day when I was growing up. You saw it live and that was about it. And I see Matt Neely nodding his head there too. But PBS always so informative. I love that you brought that up. And I think in this season that we're in this summer, there's so much going on nationally with attentions to budgets and the effect on things. The decisions that are being made are not only affecting agencies, but really the domino effect or the ripple effect that's going out into community. We see that happening, and oftentimes we think of public budgets only being about programs or tactical type of things instead of the learning and the informing that happens with things like NPR, you know, National Public Radio, public broadcasting systems. So thanks for bringing that up. I think it's something for all of us to stay aware of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We obviously, you know, working at different levels of government, started at the county level and was lucky enough in my position as the clerk of the board at the time to sit in all county budget meetings, from discussions early on to a budget being fully approved in July. So I've gotten to sit at the table with a lot of folks talking about budgets, talking about what makes an impact. And yes, public programs, you know, not only things like PBS, public radio, the opportunity for folks to see what's going on in their communities locally, but also, you know, programs like Boys and Girls Club and things that really not only build communities, give children the opportunity to experience and journey into sports or topics that they would have never been exposed to, but also a great provider for a place for children to be when parents just have different types of hours for work. So I think not only things like PBS, you know, at home, but also those programs out in the community. I got to spend a couple of weeks ago time at the Senior Center here in Tucson in downtown and just see what those programs are doing for our senior community and how important that is, not only for the nutrition that they get, the ability to connect with folks, which in a time where loneliness is becoming a pandemic is critical.
Absolutely.
So of course, you can imagine Senator Kelly is not only fighting for all of these programs, not only for veterans and seniors, but also for our children, for our families. And we encourage folks to reach out to our office and share not only the successes of these programs, because of course we want to hear about those, but if there are any changes, you know, if they're really feeling the impacts of cuts or proposed cuts or things that are already, you know, being scaled back.
So right on point. I love the connection and the attention that you're giving to remind people, not just our listeners, but also others who will hear this after today, because our sessions are available on our website and things like that. We'll be able to put out clips. But people are reminded that even though we're talking about some challenging issues right now, that people can contact their leaders for anything. They really can call or get on a web or send an email or go to an office, although that's usually a little harder because people have such busy schedules. But you can be in contact with your elected officials to ask questions, to find out what kind of programs or services are available, but also to report back in that something maybe needs some improvement, maybe there's an issue, but also to let our elected officials and our representatives know when something is working and when we believe in it and when we want to make sure to say thank you for standing by those things, as well as just saying this is working and we want to keep it going or maybe we want to expand. And I think sometimes people don't remember that because, you know, it's, I guess it's human nature. We only kind of raise our hand when there's a challenge, but I'm so glad that you're reminding folks that they can touch in and find out more.
Yes, no, it's critical. He's always, you know, telling folks, and of course I am too, is we absolutely want to hear when things are not working, right? Because it is our responsibility to find out why they're not working or how they can be changed to improve the services that federal agencies are providing. But every once in a while, we get a phone call from someone that says, you know, thank you for this, or I really appreciate that. Which is great. I try to do it myself. You know, if I go into a store and an employee does a really good job or really goes above and beyond, to give that feedback, because I think it's important. But one of the best things that you said that I think folks forget is elected officials are public servants. They are definitely here to serve the community. And if they don't get that feedback, of what the priorities are, what's important to people, it's often, you know, difficult to really understand the focus that they should have on these things. I think several offices in the state do an incredible job of getting out there. And like I said, we partner not only with the state agencies, but our congressional partners for different, you know, resource fairs, but also for things like Academy. You know, a lot of children don't know that service academies are an option for them.
Well, and so I'm going to jump in really quickly on that. We will talk a little bit more about that. We're on to our next commercial break. So please stay tuned and we'll pick up on Academy. Thank you. And we're back for our next section. In our first hour this Monday, July 21st of Rainmakers, I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and our guest for this first hour has been Arlette Rios. Arlette, thank you so much for being on. I know that we were right in the middle of a great conversation when we had to go to commercial, but we were speaking about, or you were speaking about, some really fabulous things that are going on in Senator Kelly's office related to the kind of outreach and community engagement, constituent services, programs and initiatives, and lots of fun stuff. One of the things that I would like to do a little bit deeper dive that you brought up is Academy Day. I know that was happening just as the music was taking us off air. Let's go back to that a little bit, and maybe we can tell our listeners what Academy Day is all about. Again, you mentioned at the top of our conversation that you and Senator Kelly, of course, both being veterans and taking to heart veteran services, constituents, services. Where does Academy Day play? That's for our young people, is it not?
Yes, and I love the music. I felt like I was at the Grammys and slowly being, you know, just popped off the stage. But no, yes. So let's talk about Academy Day. So of course, I focus on veterans, right? So everybody that's kind of retired or separated from military service. But when I think back to being 17 and sitting down and thinking about, you know, what a career would look like, we have a lot of young people in Arizona doing the same thing. And most of us are familiar recruiters and enlistments and attending things like basic training. My son is actually currently in Fort Benning, Georgia, at Army Basic Training. So right now it's very fresh in my mind. But something that most students are not aware of is academies, right? So for our office, it's huge, not only because we want to encourage as many young people, if that's their path and their goal, to serve in the military as commissioned officers, but actually Senator Kelly attended the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. So that's how he kind of got started with his military career. So he's a huge proponent of this process. But basically, you know, we have five academies in the United States, Coast Guard, Merchant Marine, West Point, which is for the Army, the Naval Academy at Annapolis, and then the Air Force Academy out of Colorado Springs. And four of these, to exclude the Coast Guard Academy, require that a student gets a letter of nomination from a congressional member of their state.
Oh, okay.
So every year, Senator, you know, whatever the other senator is at this point, Senator Gallego, our office, and all the other congressional offices have a whole process that is all on our website. You can go on there and learn all about it. But basically, Senator Kelly receives a lot of asks that he nominates different students for these academies. And in order to ensure that we have a fair process, the senator actually appoints a nomination board made up of service academy graduates, and they review these applications. We interview students, and then we nominate students. And in late December, after the senator has reviewed these nominations, had an opportunity to ask questions or meet with his nomination board, we put forth nominations for these academies. And then that same fall, those students, you know, very joyously and very proudly attend their first year at one of these academies to begin their military careers.
That is so fabulous. And I have to imagine the requests are quite high, quite a high number of requests coming in. You know, Senator Kelly and Senator Gallego, and like you said, all the congressional offices. I think sometimes there can be, I'm losing my words here for a minute, because what I'm thinking about is again, sometimes people reach out to elected officials only when there's a problem, and yet this is something that is proactive. This is something that is creating a future, and I'm so thrilled that there is so much outreach going on, and I am sure that not every request or can be addressed, you know, each time, but that's wonderful that there's that pipeline so that we can have Arizonans be represented in the way in our future generations going into service and participating in the academy. Fantastic.
And there's other options as well. If people reach out to our office, we are happy to sit down and talk through what those look like.
That is just is so encouraging. You know, kind of going to the other spectrum, I know that with the Academy Day and with requests for support and recommendations, that can propel into a career for folks, and has not only the individual who is going into the service being affected, but their family, their parents, their siblings also have are touched by that kind of support. And I'm thinking also on the other side of support and things that you and Senator Kelly focus on, and the rest of the team in the senator's office, is caregiving and being an advocate for those who need care. Of course, in your end, it's with veterans, their families, their children, their spouses, things like that. But also, you mentioned seniors earlier, and I know that Alzheimer's is continuing to be a very big topic that Senator Kelly and you and the others in the office are focusing on. I'm remembering a recent either article or posting that mentions the child care, the Alzheimer's full-time caregiving and funding for advocates. Am I understanding that right? Are you familiar with that program?
I'm not. I like you said, I focus mostly on caregiving for veterans and their dependents. But I do know we have staff that's looking at all those different acts and programs and funding. We actually have our staff up in the Flagstaff and Prescott area this week doing a senior focused outreach.
Oh,
so
good.
They're going to be out in that community. Yeah. Let me see if I have any details here.
Oh, but, I appreciate that. While you're looking that up, I guess where the connection was going on in my mind is sometimes we put, I know with my background in small business and community development, sometimes we put a lot of issues or initiatives kind of in silos. But the fact is there's a lot of intersection, even if they're running in parallel. And one of the things that kind of came to my mind was seniors as well as veterans and those two things coming together. And I guess that's where I was remembering some attentions and some postings about Alzheimer's. But also, I have to imagine with veterans, which is right in your wheelhouse, not just Alzheimer's, but other kinds of things, PTSD or certain physical ailments that may have come from injury or other kinds of exposures that happened during active military duty. All of those things kind of swirl together, and they are not just for the Veterans Affairs or the Veterans Hospital to deal with. These involve a lot of collaboration and connection into other organizations, nonprofits, medical or otherwise, out in community. And it seems like you're doing such a great job and with your whole team getting out into community and holding expo days and holding summits where many of these different organizations can come together. Any of those coming up in the near future that we might want to tell our listeners about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just pulled up. It looks like they're going to be on Wednesday at the Prescott Public Library on Goodwin Street at 10 a.m. And then they'll be there through 2:30 p.m.
Great. So that would be July 23rd, right?
23rd,
Wednesday.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Yes. And then we have a couple of things like that coming up. Our office, Senator Gallego's office, have partnered with a couple of community-focused, programs that really pay attention to veterans to host these veterans forums. So we just had one in early April here in Tucson that was focused on seniors. So we actually had a lot of the state departments that provide services, a lot of county offices that help with things like fraud. And then we had the VA, of course, walk the family members who sometimes are the ones that get left behind without, a lot of knowledge about how to file for something, how to ask questions, where to go, and put together a whole day with breakout sessions to focus on these topics. So we have a veterans forum that will partner with Senator Gallego's office and some of our community partners in Central AZ, probably around October timeframe. I'll be out at a lot of veteran stand downs. For example, on Saturday, I'll be up in Payson at their stand down there, just sharing what our office does. And then at the end of the year, our office will again partner with Senator Gallego's office to host a rural veterans resource fair around early December timeframe, probably in the Cochise County area. So
oh,
we have a couple of those
fabulous
things coming up.
That's so good to know. I'm going to hold there because we're going to our last commercial break and be back. But I want to come back and talk just a little bit more about the Rural Veterans Fair. So stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers. We'll be right back. So we're listening to the tune, I'm Doing Fine Now. Thanks, Matt Neely. I think that's so apropos for what we're speaking about this morning in our first hour. Our guest has been Arlette Rios. And Arlette, thank you so much. I just cannot thank you and your whole team enough for all you do to make sure that veterans as a constituency and their family and children and folks that are interacting with them out in community know that they have a resource in you as a liaison and as an outreach manager and in this, the Senator's office, Senator Kelly's office. And as you have mentioned more recently with Senator Gallego also being a veteran, that there's a real collaboration that's even more strengthened by having the two senators really focus on veterans as constituents. I'm excited about what you mentioned right before the break. You were talking about later this year an upcoming rural veterans conference and the kind of outreach that's going to happen with that. More than just outreach, the attention that those constituents are going to feel. Rural communities often don't get enough attention, enough services, enough program, enough connectivity, or enough budget. So it sounds like you're really trying to make a difference by honing in on that and going to our lovely Southern Arizona Cochise County.
Yeah, no, as you know, that's my county that I call home. So it's always nice when we get to go back there and focus on that community, which is one of our most populated veteran counties in our state. But yes, we want to partner with our state, the Department of Veteran Services, and of course, Senator Gallego's office, and we want to host a resource fair out in that area. We're still in the planning stages of it, so don't have exact information yet, but I will be absolutely sharing that with you as things come to a more decidingly, details for that day. But just in general, Senator Kelly, just not only veterans, of course, that's what my focus in, but just folks all around the state. He flies, he has a plane that he charters to fly so that he can get to those rural areas faster and quicker. Our teams are always out in different areas. As you can imagine right now with the fires going up upstate, we have a wonderful team up there that's been super focused on what's going on, what we can do, how we can help, and just getting information out of what resources that area should have.
So
and then,
important.
And then doing things like this, resource fairs, or, for seniors or for families or for, receivers of different social programs, and then veterans. But our team, what we really want folks to know, and the senator, is that we are always available. We want people to reach out to our office and connect with us and share with us what they're experiencing, so that we have a good, solid information. And we, you have, my email, but we have a website that folks can go to, and it's, let me grab it here really quick. So it's pretty simple, kelly.senate.gov. And once you go there, you can find out, about Service Academy. You can find out about veteran resources. You can schedule a meeting with our staff. You can request that the senator attend one of your events. So everything is on that website, everything from legislation to outreach to the things that we do with casework are all available there. And of course, I want to thank you so much for inviting me. This has been wonderful. I look forward to continuing our collaboration with your partnership on supporting our office and what we're trying to do for the constituents of Arizona.
Well, gosh, thank you so much for that. Thank you for all you do, you and your whole team and all of everyone who's there in the senator's office making these things happen. And thank you again for the shout outs. And yes, listeners, if you have questions, please go to Senator Kelly's website, and it is a wealth of information. And also, if you have any questions, you can reach us here at The Morning Voice for Rainmakers, and we will be happy to follow up or connect you. And I'm going to say again, how important AM radio is for folks being able to share the information in their cars or in an emergency, being able to have that radio connection. We thank Bustos Media, and I'm just grateful to have great teammates also and colleagues like you Arlet Rios, who come and participate on shows like this. So this has been The Morning Voice on Monday, July 21st.
Goes Rainmakers. By quick, doesn't it?
It sure does. And Arlet, thank you again. We will be in touch. And listeners, stay tuned for our next segment coming up after the commercial break.
And don't forget, we have a meet and greet happy hour coming up this week. And this
That's
week,
right.
I mean, it's the 24th.
On the 24th, Thursday the 24th at
right
Javelina.
Yeah, at Javelina.
Over
yeah.
at Double Tree Reed Park. And Arlet, maybe we'll see you there.
Yes, absolutely.
Matt Neely, thanks so much. You'll be playing us out. And Arlet, we will definitely have you back soon. Give our best regards and safe travels to you this week as you go out and about in community.
Thank you.
And The Morning Voice will be right back right after a couple of messages from our sponsors and the top of the hour news. We'll be speaking with Crystal and Tracy from Proper Shops. A great story. You don't want to miss it. It's coming up next.
Good morning. We are here on a Monday morning. This is Monday, July 21st, and you are listening to another segment of Rainmakers. And I am your host, Lydia Aranda. We are in our second hour. We had just wrapped up a fabulous conversation with Arlet Rios, who is Veterans Outreach Manager for Senator Kelly's office. Matt Neely, didn't Arlet share so much good information with us and so many ideas about how to get engaged?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just the story about engagement with the Service Academy nominations. Always interesting. Putting an eye to the future like that, right?
Exactly.
For the next generation.
Absolutely. They're doing so much. And these days, I think a lot of conversations that happen between our community and our elected officials is often, as nature has it, it was often centered around challenges or things that maybe are going wrong or that are broken. And I love when we are able to be reminded that we can reach out to our officials for good things that are going on or things that are helpful and find ways to get involved and help support each other. So that's always encouraging. And, you know, on Mondays, we like to do little recaps or we like to focus on what's going on in the bigger world. And one of the things that I forgot to mention at the beginning, so I'll just do it now, is, you know, we always have these national whatever weeks or national whatever months. And one of the themes going on for this week, July 14th through 20th, it was new to me, is this is National Zookeeper Week. Have you ever heard of that, Matt?
Sometimes. We feel like we're zookeepers
in
various places. It says the guy behind the cage here. So, you know, yeah, maybe you're the zookeeper. I don't know who's keeping the zoo here.
We are
watching.
National
Zookeeper Week, huh?
That's right. That's what it says. And also, it is the week of National Ice Cream Day, because technically that was yesterday.
That is way more than one day. I'm
exactly.
sorry. That is like a whole
We're going to enjoy it the whole week. We got lots of great ice cream places here in Southern Arizona.
Oh, yeah. A couple made the news, right?
Yeah, they have.
Made Yelp's list.
That's right. So I look forward to this continued show with our second hour segment. And our guest for the second hour in studio, we have Tracy Nicasio. Tracy, hi. Great to have you in studio this morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. And we also have on the line Crystal Popoff, who is joining us by phone because she's off to an exciting opportunity regarding she and one of her children, right, for education. So, Crystal, I'm so glad that you're still able to join us. We miss you in studio, but wonderful that you're able to call in. Please say hi to everybody.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Lydia and Matt. I'm excited to join you this morning.
That's fabulous. And so our listeners can know, Crystal, I might start with you of why the two of you are in here. You are both co-owners of this fabulous concept that is working for small businesses, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, micropreneurs here in Tucson. And it's called Proper Shops in downtown Tucson. And I wonder, Crystal, let's hear from you a little bit about how you would describe Proper Shops to our listeners, what it is, what your vision is, how you got together with Tracy on this. I just want to know the whole scoop.
All right. Well, we're excited to share with you. It's really a magical place that we opened in 2021. Proper Shops is really a collaboration of amazing local retailers. I think something that I've always done, and you'll see this throughout my multiple businesses, is supporting the newest entrepreneur. I think small business, you know this, but small business is really the heartbeat of Tucson. And we need to always just be mindful and make it easier for startups to
to run that business. So Proper Shops was born really in that light of, we have these retailers, these wonderful makers, jewelry makers, clothing designers, artists that would like to get their art or their product out to the market, but a commercial lease in a brick and mortar is daunting and mm-hmm. expensive mm-hmm. and tough to get in. And so Proper Shops was born on, I see a need for retail downtown. At the time, I was running the L offices in downtown Tucson, which is a co-working space. We now have our location at River and Campbell. But as I was renting out spaces for offices, people were coming in with retail saying, can I open a shop here? And where we were located downtown was on the second floor of a building. We didn't get any foot traffic in. Mm-hmm. And so Buzz Isaacson came to me in 2021 and said, Scott Seitler's got this building. It's vacant. He doesn't want to put a restaurant in right now. What can you dream up in this space? And I walked it and I said, this would be an incredible space for those retailers that are looking for a step into brick and mortar. And that's how Proper Shops was born.
Gosh, that is a great story. And I love how you weave together the whole point about small business needing different kinds of options often, and retailers needing different kinds of options. Sometimes it actually is to enjoy some food or beverage. Sometimes it is to display artwork, which is one of the things I love in your space. Artists have been in there and been able to display as well as sell. And sometimes people just need a space that maybe is similar to a kiosk or a smaller booth. They don't necessarily need a whole building or a whole suite. And then some folks need something a little bit wider, a little bit taller, and keeping access to some of the historic buildings downtown, I think, is fabulous. And to me, it always gives like a really interesting vibe to the small business owners and what they have to offer. So it sounds like you not only found a good space that was useful, but you were also able to pull from kind of that walkability and the history, because where Proper Shops is located is right across the street from Hotel Congress and some other very well-known spots. Yeah. just a little bit down from Rialto. And what is it called? The Don Martini Club, and mm-hmm. all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, and we, the location in my opinion is the best corner of downtown. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of other corners that are kind of up and coming, but that's just a really great corner of downtown. And so when I walked it, I knew I wanted to do something with it. And when I thought about this idea of this collaboration of retail, mix, mingle. We have a bar inside. We have a patio outside. I knew we were going to run some shopping events there, some other vendor events. And so immediately I thought of Tracy. Tracy and I have worked together in the past. She's a dear friend of mine. We're very close. And she was running an events business at the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, let's partner and do this. And it's been really fun.
Well, Tracy, what do you think about that? It sounds like you got hooked into a great idea with a great friend that's providing great service to entrepreneurs. For me knowing you, and full disclosure to our listeners, Tracy is a good friend as well. And we are colleagues because we serve together on the board of the MSBA, which is the Minority and Small Business Alliance of Southern Arizona. And Tracy knows well other people that I know. We have a lot of mutual connections and friends, including family members. So Tracy, I'm so excited that you and Crystal came together in this way. It sounds like Crystal did the right thing in selecting you and in your background in events planning. Tell us a little bit more about what you thought when Crystal came to you with this idea.
Yeah. So when she first called me, she said, I've got this idea. I thought of you. And so we met. I was really excited from the get-go, of course, working with, just such a great friend and helping her vision come to life. I was, just so grateful that she chose me to do this. It's been just such a true blessing, over the last few years and all that we've got to do together, to help these retailers, fulfill their dreams. So I'm super grateful that she thought of me in this.
Well, it sounds like it's a match made in heaven, because the two of you with your skills and your background, not only being able to help pull this spot together, but when I have seen it, and it's fairly recent, I think you said 2021, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So that is, we still weren't quite all the way out of pandemic then. So a lot of interesting challenges or different kinds of decisions were having to be made by entrepreneurs at that time, and continue to be now that we are in the throes of post-pandemic economy, post-pandemic development, some services that maybe were available then for entrepreneurs by way of funding or grants or loans or, you know, different kinds of things that may have been available, I think are all shifting, or some of those have sunsetted, and now new services need to be available. So that's an awful lot for people to be thinking of. So as tenants of yours, I wonder, what does the proper shops, what would be something like an angle, a distinction that you all as landlords, I guess, can offer your tenants besides the unique space and the great location? Are there opportunities for entrepreneurs to maybe have training or get together with each other? Or do you bring in financiers or anything like that that might be an added bonus or perk for your tenants?
Yeah, we do. Okay. I think the biggest the biggest perk for retailers coming in, and you made a good point, coming out of COVID, we had a lot of people, probably the biggest shift of people starting up LLCs during COVID. People were home, they were focused, they had time on their hands, and people started creating. They started kind of looking at their life and being like, what do I want to do from now on? And a lot of people had a reset. And with that, a lot of creators were born, people making jewelry. So when we, so at the end of 2021, when we looked at this, we said, well, let's capture those people that are trying to sell online. Online is tough. There's some people do really well, but some people's product just need that physical touch. And so as we're bringing new retailers in, like Jason Robinson started Sport Class Customs with his son during COVID. It's a woodworking, they make all kinds of stuff, charcuterie boards and, you know, glass holders and all kinds of things. But they started during COVID. So they wanted a retail space for customers to be able to come in and see their items. So what we offer is a real low entry. We are always month to month, so you don't have to sign a long-term contract with us.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. So there's no lease, right? And no credit checks. I mean, we want to make it really simple for that entrepreneur to get in. We could require a simple deposit, fully refundable, if the space is in the same, you know, same, if they leave it the same that they came. And so it really is low entry for them to come in. Everything's included in their monthly. We don't even call it rent. We call it monthly membership fee.
Nice.
So it's kind of like a gym membership. They pay month to month. They come in, depending on the size of their space, they may pay $700. They may pay $1,500 for their space, depending on the size. And right now, the reason that we're just thrilled that you had us on, Lydia, is we have a large shop leaving, and they did exactly what we had envisioned. They came in, they started their space. They're featuring a bunch of Tucson Gallery. They're featuring a bunch of muralists and local artists, but they're moving to now a commercial space. So they got to test out retail in this comfortable month-to-month environment. And now they're confident in their numbers, they're confident in their sales, and now they're taking that step forward to opening their own space.
That
and
is
so
just,
we're kind of that we're that jumping pad.
You,
and so we have like five or six shops that are going to be open. They had a pretty big space, so we'll chunk it down. So it's a perfect timing for that local retailer to step in and come to our proper shops.
You have really hit the nail on the head there. I'm going to hold right there because, believe it or not, we're going to our first commercial break. But please hold that thought, because I have many more questions. You're listening to Rainmakers. Stay tuned. And we're back in our second hour. This is Lydia Aranda, your host for Rainmakers, and we are on Monday, July 21st, and enjoying some rain. Sounds like it's starting to come
in,
Matt.
Lydia.
It's working.
Rainmakers,
it's working.
Worked yet again. Your streak remains alive.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Lovely rain for all of our Sonoran Desert, and we definitely need it. So we've been speaking this second hour. I'm so excited to have in studio Tracy Nicasio, and on the line, Crystal Popov, and they are the co-owners of this fabulous retail entrepreneur area in our wonderful historic downtown called the Proper Shops. And Crystal, before the break, was sharing with us a bit of the vision, but also some of the things that were going on in the timing and creation of this that is to the benefit of the entrepreneurs that decide to utilize this space. And what I loved, and Tracy, I'm going to jump to you with this question. One of the things Crystal was mentioning is not only that, by and large, pretty much about 99.9% of the arrangement is not a lease, but a month-to-month. There have been a couple of exceptions at the beginning when some folks had some specific funding. We'll get to that part, circle back to that later. But one of the things she was talking about was that her vision of what this could be had a very creative spin to it, not only because retailers or entrepreneurs themselves were coming in a creative space, coming out of pandemic, or maybe a second or third career where they had retired or changed industries and using their creativity and now needed a space to actually promote or sell or at least interact with their potential customers or their customers. So a lot of those things might sound a little bit technical to people, but it really is all about getting to know the business owner themselves, the people side of things, which both of you sound like you have a real skill in. But I know you, Tracy, tell me a little bit about your role in interacting once people come in and are established in Proper Shops. They have their little space. Is it you that they might see a little bit more frequently on a day-to-day basis?
We both are hands-on. Okay. I do... Crystal takes care of a lot of the financial part. I'm a little more in the space and dealing with the retailers.
And kind of, I think one of the terms that she used was members, that instead of being tenants, you ladies look at the people that are there as kind of members in this idea. So I'd say that maybe, Crystal, are you taking on a little bit of the administrative and maybe back office function? I don't want to say back office, but the office function, the organization of it, the administration, and maybe, Tracy, are you doing a little bit more of member relations, we might say?
I am. So I'm, you know, trying to help the retailers, encouraging them to take part in events, you know, to have their own events there.
Great. That's a wonderful perk to not only just sell, but maybe have special events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, if challenges arise, you know, they'll reach out to me. We'll work through things together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking about in with relation to one of the examples that Crystal was mentioning before the break is that one of the larger spaces within the Proper Shops was a gallery type setting. And I think one of the times that I walked through there, I saw that art gallery. So there was a lot hanging on the back wall and some counters and shelves and spaces like that where there was a lot of art on display, sculptures and as well as paintings and things like that. So what comes to mind for me is maybe a special event might be that that person or that company might do a showing. Would that be an example of a special event?
Yeah, we do meet the artist. The Tucson Gallery would hold Meet the Artist Night. The artist come in, talk to the public, maybe do a live painting or something along those lines. So as she mentioned, though, the Tucson Gallery is moving out. They have found their own space downtown.
So they've graduated,
They have graduated, and we are super excited for them. So they had two large spaces up front. So we're going to be scaling those down and making it a little more affordable for retailers, you know, to come in and get started. Now, of course, if somebody came in and wanted larger space, absolutely. But we are
kind of the first come, first serve, right?
Yes.
Whoever jumps in there.
Yeah, and showing it that way. So we are hosting an open house on July 29th from 4:30 to 5:30. We're going to be running some specials that night. If somebody comes in and selects a space and signs a membership agreement, we're going to have some incentives for that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And so this is just a really rare opportunity right now. We have a couple of large spaces, some prime spaces open at once, you know. And so we're having this turnover. We're excited about bringing in the new energy and you know, keeping that vibe.
That's exciting. Now, I'm thinking of other kinds of retailers that might be in there. So tattoo artists, I've seen in the past, certainly jewelry and other creators who might have pieces that are a little bit smaller. Maybe they need a little bit smaller space. Barber shops or anything like that, or that is that allowable?
So we have the whole back. I remember the last time you were down, I think there were still shops in the back, but that whole back is now a barber shop.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so that's...
And they're a member of
They are a
shops.
Member, yes. Okay. Yep. And we've put a door. They have their own little entrance and shop. It's really neat, really cool vibe back there. That's Gabe with Crystal. What's 1972? Yeah. 1972 is the name
is
of the barber.
Name of it. Oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
And then Jenny, who our tattoo artist, she actually moved to California.
Oh, okay.
So her space
a different
is
kind
open.
Of graduation.
Yes, and so we are targeting tattoo artists. We love having, you know, we loved having her in there. She did amazing, and she had come from a shop, you know, a tattoo shop, and just wanted her own space. And so, I mean, what a great way for her to start out, you know,
bet.
To not have to have all of the challenges and everything that come along with owning
with having to
a
have
brick
a whole
and mortar.
Building
yes yeah and did. Being able to go month to month. And then when something came up like this for her to move to California, she was able to just up and go. But her time at Proper was, you know, really special. So we would love to have another tattoo artist in there. We also think a baker would be a really good fit. We used to have a bakery in there. They also moved on. But yeah, we think that would be good. Like a leather shop, I think, would do really well.
Oh,
we'd
yeah.
love to have maybe a solo artist. So yeah, there's just all kinds of options.
I wonder, that just my mind is racing with all the kind of possibilities of what...
Before we go to break, why don't you tell them again which corner you're on and the hours folks can go there?
I think that's a great idea.
Sure. We are right on the corner of 5th and Congress, right down from Rialto. We are open Wednesday and Thursday from 11 to 8, Friday 11 to 10, both Friday and Saturday 11 to 10, and Sunday 11 to 5.
Great. And can people park? I guess there could be street parking if they happen to find a spot right on the street. But is there any kind of parking associated with Proper Shops, like in one of the garages? Or
there's a parking garage just catty corner right from Proper.
Perfect.
Super easy.
So it makes it really easy for people to just kind of go across one street and the other, do that little cross and get over. Well, we're, believe it or not, ready for our next commercial break. So we're going to come back in just a moment and talk about more scheduling with Proper Shops. And we're back for the last half hour of this Monday morning. We are in our second hour segment of Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. And in studio right now, we have Tracy Nicasio. And online, we've got Crystal Popoff. They are the co-owners of this fabulous retail space called Proper Shops. And when I say retail space, it's actually small business space. This is a space made available for retailers of all different types, small spaces, slightly larger spaces, places where people can display their art, sell their art, provide a service, and even people can have cup of coffee, get an adult beverage, as I will say, because Billy, I forget Billy's last name, but
Billy Elliot
is running the bar there within Proper Shops, and it butts right up against Congress Street, so it makes it a really great place for people to come either inside the shop to enjoy a drink, or they can do it in your front-facing spot that has a little bit of a standing area, right?
Yes. Yep. So Billy, he's always been so generous when we've had events. He would donate raffle prizes and things like that. And so we got together with him and came up with this idea of the bar has transitioned a little bit, you know, in different ways since we started. But this has just been a really cool collaboration. You know, Billy owns Elliot's on Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So partnering with him, he's named the bar Shot Time. He's got fabulous bartenders that come in. They've just brought like a whole new vibe to the space. And we've loved partnering with him and having him in there.
That's great. And so in addition to his full bar, having Shot Time, and I love that, kind of reminds me of that. What's that song, Matt? Shot, 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 shot.
Does the bar, does that have an effect of opening up wallets a little more quickly for shopping?
You know, that was our thought. Maybe when it first opened, it wasn't our thought when it first opened. But it does happen. But I think it's more that, you know, when I go downtown, I'm usually going downtown to have dinner or maybe see a show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want it to be the stop to bring in more people to the retailers. We want to be that stop before or after, right? So mm-hmm. if you're going downtown to have dinner, El Charo or Monica or wherever, stop into Proper Shops before, have a drink, shop a little bit, support those local retailers, and then go on to dinner. So it's just that we wanted to, it's kind of a welcoming environment. It also helps with our events. Alcohol sometimes does, mm-hmm. but it draws people for events as well.
Sure, if they can have a little adult beverage as they're exploring, and I like how you put it, Matt,
right.
kind of helps open up that pocketbook a little bit just more, or that wallet.
Yeah.
I just love this, because this is like the retail equivalent of like a food truck, where it allows you to do a proof of concept, to build a following,
yep. mm-hmm.
very low hurdle, mm-hmm. you know, to get in there, but mm-hmm. it's kind of the retail equivalent of that. It's just a great idea.
Exactly. Thank you.
I do too. I really love it, and I love that there is an upcoming open house. And before we're going to do a little deeper dive into what you've got planned for the open house, but one of the things that comes to mind is how other small business organizations can also help support small business by supporting Proper Shops. What I mean by that is like the MSBASA or ASBA or other groups like that who are in the business of supporting small business, maybe advocating on small business policy. In the case of the MSBA, we provide trainings and information type of sessions. So as we come and support Proper Shops by walking through or letting people know through our own newsletters and websites, or maybe hosting one of our training sessions right there in Proper Shops to not only tag and serve those retailers who are right in there as your members, we also can maybe provide other kinds of specialty, either programs or outreach or some kind of touch. So I just see it as a wonderful spot where others can collaborate and help support entrepreneurs, especially local entrepreneurs.
We love hosting different organizations. We've had the Better Business Bureau hold their monthly events there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Local First Arizona, Startup mm-hmm. Tucson, lots of great companies, you know. And so we, Stuart Title, like we, the top producers or real producers, held a very large event there. And, you know, it's such a unique, special space, you know, and people don't realize that till they're in the space.
Right.
You know,
and what I remember seeing is not only is there the space where the retailers have their spots, and Crystal, I think you were alluding to this a little bit, but then behind, once you come inside and go behind, there's like a courtyard in the back where mm-hmm. you can hold those special events, correct?
Absolutely.
Yes. It's mm-hmm. And it's perfect space. And what we would love the retailers to know is that they can do their grand opening and we will support it, we'll encourage it, we'll promote it. The other retailers will promote it. We, you know, we have the vision for the space, but the retailers that are in it is what makes it so special.
Mm-hmm.
And these organizations that are supporting small entrepreneurship, a startup entrepreneurship is so hard.
It's
tough. You're taking big risks,
mm-hmm.
you're signing leases,
mm-hmm.
you're buying inventory, you're betting on you. And these retailers that are in there, we love them so much, and we want to support them so much. And they get the benefit of having larger organizations come in. So we invite all of you, all those big organizations that are supporting that small entrepreneur, let's collaborate, let's have events together, let's support these people that are really in the grind and putting their heart into everything. And we love to do that. We also love to see, we had a clothing company that did a fashion show. I mean, mm-hmm. I think,
Tracy, oh, wow.
people, did she have all the courtyard?
She had, yeah, there was about, she had to cut it off actually, but there were about 125 people. It was beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And when the weather supports, which for much of the year, you know, the weather is just great. I'm going to even say, I mean, we're right in the heart of July and the high today is only going to be 95. Now it's a bit of a rainy Woo-hoo! Day, which we like. But, you know, that's not bad if you pick the right hours for maybe a morning event or mm-hmm. later in the evening. Now, earlier we had, at least on our screen, our listeners can't see it right now, but on our screen, we were able to see Proper Shops' website and you mentioned the corner, the intersection, Tracy, but is there an, what is the website that people can come find you?
It's propershopstucson.com.
Okay, so propershops, plural, Tucson.com. People can actually kind of take a look through the pictures of how the space is and maybe fill out an application and do things like that. Yes. So earlier, Crystal, you were mentioning that one of your larger Tucson Gallery, one of the larger spaced members is leaving, but that space is available for folks. So in addition to maybe just folks hearing about this being curious and going online, is the point of the open house to try and fill those spots also, besides also being a great time to show off what's going on with the retailers there? I mean, is that kind of the goal, that at the open house there'll be certain, I think you mentioned incentives that will encourage people maybe to sign up on the spot?
Yeah, we're actually hosting the open house on a day that the shops are closed. Now, a lot of the shop owners may or may not be there.
Oh, okay.
But our idea is hosting that open house. And I do want to mention the hours one more time, because people come to Proper Shops all the time. But because we are that entry space for retailers, these are people that usually have families at home, and they may be doing this as a side hustle or a brand new business. Our hours are limited. So this isn't a mall store where you're open every day, all day. This is limited hours, and that allows that shop owner to schedule, kind of have a part-time business. So those hours are only Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, good to know.
We did open Wednesday also.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Oh, we recently opened Wednesday. We'll see how that goes, though. If there's not a lot of traffic, we don't want retailers sitting in there for 6 or 8 hours with no traffic. So we're going to reanalyze that coming into the fall, but we're coming into shopping season. So we're hosting the opening, the grand opening, specifically for retailers looking for space. So if you are out there maybe doing farmers markets, or you've only done booths before, but you are ready for that next step of having kind of a brick and mortar with the flexibility of a month-to-month payment, that's what we're hoping opening. That's what we're using the open house for. So these are the open house is specifically for retailers looking for space, anywhere from $700 to $1,500 a month, and we want to show you what we can provide in that space.
$700 to $1,500 is the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, $700 to $1,500 per month. There's a range depending on the spot, and I love that. So the open house is going to let people walk the space, see what they can do, and hopefully fill the open spaces, because everybody always wants to make sure that your vacancies are filled, but also to get to know it in a little bit different way. I'm thinking that among small business orgs and all the things that we talked about, who would find interest in utilizing the space, I have to imagine that on a regular basis, real estate folks probably would like to walk this space or maybe even hold events there as well to start to build a relationship with the retailers there before they're ready to go out and get their graduate into their bigger space, if
yes.
they will. It sounds to me like that would be kind of a no-brainer. And Tracy, you and I know a few retailers. I'm going to give one shout out because I can, because he's my cousin. And that's Rich Biscayda, who does a great job in real estate. But there are a lot of different folks who, some are in residential, some are in commercial, some specialize in small businesses in particular. So it sounds like that might be a great place for them too.
Mm-hmm. As Absolutely. Crystal mentioned, that membership fee, includes janitorial, it includes some marketing. It includes, that is, I think, one of the really special things about it too. So that,
all
the utilities are included. So like when the AC goes out, they don't have to worry about that. That falls on us.
Exactly.
When the windows are leaking, like they don't have any of that stuff that, normal, brick and mortar retail owners have.
Right.
So easing them in, they're aware of it. It impacts them.
Sure.
But it doesn't, there's no financial burden for them.
Fix it. Instead, they give a call to Tracy and Crystal, it sounds like. So that's wonderful. Hey, we're getting ready.
If you think about that price point, most people that are doing farmers markets or vendor events, that's between $50 and $100 per event.
Right.
And so we are open to about 20 days a month. And so if you divide that number by 20, you're paying a very small amount per day that you're open.
Mm-hmm.
So people are able to sell a few items and cover that cost. It really works out well.
That is a really great point. And we're going to hold right there as we take our next commercial break. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice.
Maybe not enough rain to rock the boat, but we'll do what we can, right, Lydia?
Trying. We'll make a few waves out there. And we're here on Rainmakers. We're wrapping up our Monday, July 21st show on Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda.
Crystal and Tracy are rocking the boat in the retail world, aren't they?
They sure are.
Big disruptor. This is great. A new idea.
Really creative innovation here going, and I love that disruptive innovation. And Tracy and Crystal both are Tucsonans, so I believe, Tracy, you're from Tucson, and Crystal, you're from Tucson and Phoenix, right?
I'm from Tucson, yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I lived up there for a little bit, but I came back. I got smart, you know.
There you go. And so it's wonderful to have these local ladies making such great things happen for local entrepreneurs. So I want to thank you again for telling our listeners and telling me and Matt more about Proper Shops. I think we might have to even talk about having an eat and greet over there at the Proper Shops location. We're going to have to look into that.
That would be fabulous.
That would be wonderful. Now, before we go, I know that this segment as we wrap up is going to go quickly. I want to highlight again, so Proper Shops is a place where merchants and retailers can come together in a little bit different approach to having a spot. Sometimes it might be their very first startup spot as they start to get the feel for what it's like to have a location before really jumping into the deep end, keeping that water theme going, and going in with their own building or a really long-term lease or anything like that. So a great solution for small businesses of all shapes and sizes. And right there downtown, right near all the great spots of Rialto and Hotel Congress and other great restaurants. So right on the corner of
5th and Congress, 300 East Congress.
300 East Congress, right on the corner, the southeast corner of the intersection. Parking is nearby. And Tracy, tell me one more success story. I think you've mentioned that not only can organizations who support small businesses get involved with the small businesses by holding events and things there, but it seems like the small business owners themselves, when they're in this space, they get to meet with each other, and sometimes they end up collaborating, partnering, and going off and doing something bigger. Is that correct?
We do. We have a lot of great success stories like that. A couple of the retailers that have been with us since the beginning, Crystal mentioned Jason with Sports Class Customs. We had a gal in there, Chelsea, with Willow's Bazaar Boutique. They partnered together. They formed a company called Timber Totes. It's custom wooden purses, all different designs. They are in resorts throughout Tucson. They're in Scottsdale. They were featured on Shark Tank. So that was something that would have never happened had it not been born inside of Proper Shops. Chelsea also partnered with another retailer, Scarlet, Desert Mariposa. Uh-huh. They have moved on out of Proper Shops and started their own brick and mortar business together. Clothing shops. So yeah, really, those are just a couple of examples.
A lot of great things can happen. Well, Crystal, it sounds like you had the vision that is making other people's dreams come true. I want to thank you for sharing that with us. Crystal, if people have more questions, should they go to the website or should they reach out to you and Tracy some other way?
Yes, go to the website. Our contact information is right on there, propershopstucson.com. Follow us on social media. We feature all these amazing retailers that are in our space. And the last thing, Christmas shopping is coming up soon. Shop these local boutiques. Find one-of-a-kind gifts. You won't be sorry when you walk in there.
I think that's a great plug. And it's true. We have to shop local in order to keep the success going on local. So you guys are making it happen from a number of different ways. I want to thank you both. And Crystal, I know it's a busy morning for you. Thank you for taking the time to call in. Tracy, always wonderful to see you. And you're right here in studio. Matt, what last question do we have? Or what last thing can we say other than open house at Proper Shops on July 29th, right?
There we go.
I think that's a good one.
Sounds like fun. I may have a beverage.
Yes, and we'll have to have a beverage with Billy pouring the shots.
There you go.
It's been a wonderful Monday morning at Rainmakers. Everybody, please be safe. Watch out for that rain because it is happening. We need it, but you got to drive safely.
Got a few isolated showers already, so there you go.
There you go, and make it a great week here at The Morning Voice.